Tonight is Tuesday night, March 13th. This is the Gemara Shir, meaning Tuesday instead of Monday night. This is, we're up to Moed Katan, Daf Tesvav, Amud Aleph, and then moving on to Amud Beis. Okay, I want to start with one he'ara on last week's shir. We read last week the Gemara on Daf Tesvav Amud Aleph, which again is looking to itemize all isurim of an avel and then state whether or not a menuda and a mitzora are obligated in the same things. So one of the things that we covered last week was that an avel is usur in Talmud Torah, and the Gemara asked about a mitzora and a menuda. So we raised the question which Rashi had mentioned, that how can the Gemara exclude the mitzvah of Talmud Torah from an avel? After all, the Braisa in Sukkah says that Avel is Chayev in all mitzvot with the exception of Tefillin. That's what the Braisa says. Well, if it says that with the exception of Tefillin, Talmud Torah is not Tefillin. So why should we exempt him from Talmud Torah? So he gave two answers. Rashi's answer was that when the Braisa said an Avel is exempt, is chayev in all mitzvot, it meant all mitzvot except mitzvot that are related to simcha. Any mitzvah that is related to simcha, an avel cannot engage in. So one mitzvah that is related to simcha is the mitzvah of Talmud Torah. And I'll give you another one. This will be a strange case, that if in the base avel somebody decided to get married, okay, somebody got married in the base avel, and he's sitting shiva, and now would you say that there is a mitzvah upon him to be misameach chasan v'kala? The answer is no, because he is exempt from any mitzvah associated with simcha. That was Rashi's answer himself. Another answer that was suggested by some rishonim was they applied the rule ein lemeidin min haklolos. You can't learn anything from a general, broad, sweeping statement that is ever made in the Talmud. So when the Gemara says that an avel is chayav in all mitzvot, all, that's a pretty broad, sweeping statement. You can't assume that it meant it seriously. It doesn't necessarily mean all mitzvot. It might mean most mitzvot. So, and even if the general, sweeping rule uses the word chutz, which gives you an exception to the rule, namely tefillin, do not interpret that word chutz that it means the only exception to the rule. There could be other exceptions to the rule that are not itemized here. That was the second answer. So I want to show you the Ritva, who got this from his Rebbe the Ramban, that gives another answer. Another answer. So take the handout first, page number one. So the Ritva is going to quote the first answer of Ein Lemeidin Min HaKlolos. V'i Kashalach, and if you will ask the question, the Amrina Avel Asa B'Divrei Torah, V'ilu Hasam in Sukkah Amrina Shehu Chayef V'Chala Mitzvot HaAmuras Matara Chutz Min HaTfilin. So the Yesh Loimar, the first answer is, which I just quoted, Ein Lemeidin Min HaKlolos. You can't derive any significance from any general rules that are quoted. Afal pi shenema vahen chutz, v'hocha pshitale de asa v'divrei Torah shehem misamche lei, that they generate simcha, and for this reason they are exempt. Od Yesh Loimar, de kevon de kore kriyashma shachris v'arvis V'dida sagile v'nimtza she'eno pater mimena. Since an Avel is allowed to daven, an Avel, although Asur and Talmud Torah, is permitted to recite anything that has become part of the Mizgeret of Tefillah. So part of the Mizgeret of Tefillah is to recite the Shema. When you read Psukim of Tanakh, you get credit for the mitzvah of Talmud Torah. And in fact, the Gemara in Brachos and Daf Yud Amud Beis says, when itemizing the time restrictions of Kriya Shema Shel Shachris, that you're only allowed to read Kriya Shema Shel Shachris for 3 hours into the day, the Gemara quotes the Mishnah, which says, Hakore mikan vo'elech lo hifsid. You haven't lost anything if you read Kriya Shema after the 3 hours. Asks the Gemara, what do you mean you haven't lost anything? Of course you've lost something. You haven't fulfilled the mitzvah because the Zman Kriya Shema is over. So there are several answers. One of the answers is Lo hifsid ki adam hakorei batorah. It's not any worse than what? Than reading a pasuk in the Torah. So there's no downside in reading it afterwards. Since an Avel is permitted and obligated to read the Shema, willy-nilly he is fulfilling his mitzvah of Talmud Torah. So therefore, when our Gemara says that an Avel is Asur in Talmud Torah, it means anything above the norm which he is permitted to recite. So he's not really exempt from the mitzvah of Talmud Torah. He is obligated in the mitzvah of Talmud Torah, but he has fulfilled his mitzvah of Talmud Torah by the recitation of Kriya Shema. That's what the Ritva says. The Ramban, who quotes this as well, goes one step further. He says that there is an option for the Avel to fulfill the mitzvah of Talmud Torah by reading Dvarim Haraim, very much akin to Tisha B'Av. On Tisha B'Av, you're not permitted to learn, and nonetheless, you're allowed to learn Eicha, you're allowed to learn Kinos, you're allowed to read various Prakim in Yirmiyahu, which describe Churban HaBayit. So there are ample opportunities to fulfill your mitzvah v'higisa bo yom v'layla, which is the basis of the mitzvah of Talmud Torah, above and beyond your obligations to teach your children. Because the mitzvah of Talmud Torah has no makar in the Chumash. The mitzvah of Talmud Torah is always framed as the mitzvah to teach. V'limaditem osamis meneichem. And v'shinantam livanecha. That's what it's always framed as. So the obligation to learn is based on Pasuk in Yehoshua, V'hogisa bo yom v'layla. That can be fulfilled with anything. And one of them is to learn Dvarim Haraim. That's what the Ramban adds above and beyond the Ritva. So the Oruch Laner, if you will now take page number 2. We'll have the Oruch Laner. I didn't photostat it. I don't know why. But the Oruch Laner in Masechah Sukkah, I thought I did photostat it. In Masechah Sukkah says that I can derive from the Ramban and the Ritva, especially the Ramban, where the Ramban says there is always an opportunity to fulfill the mitzvah of Talmud Torah by reading Dvarim Haraim, that there is no obligation to do so. It's an opportunity to read, to learn, if you want to learn. But the Ramban never said that in order to fulfill the mitzvah of Talmud Torah, you must learn something. So either you'll learn Kriya Shema by saying Kriya Shema, or you'll learn Dvarim Haraim. The Ramban never said that. And he finds that a little difficult, that it's just that you are permitted to do so, but nonetheless, there is no obligation to do so. And the Oruch Laner says, I find that a little difficult, and I would have formulated the halacha that an Ovel is chayav to learn some Dvarim Haraim to enable him to fulfill the mitzvah of Talmud Torah, and yet respect the isur of him learning, just like on Tisha B'Av. You learn Dvarim Haraim, and it's usur to learn anything else. It's usur to learn anything else.
How do Berachas HaTorah fit into all this?
Oh, rega! Okay, you'll look at the Shibalei Aleket. Page number 2. Yes.
Maybe the Ritva actually implies that. At the end of that paragraph on the Ritva, it says, the Nimsa Sheinam Patur Mimen.
Good. So the that's correct. In which case he'd be following.
Like the Erechaner.
Take it. That's correct. Not like the Ramban, just right. That it's Mutta. Very good point. Very good point.
And also in relation to this, so when we daven Marav early, and,
yes.
And we say Kriyat Shema in the framework of the brachos.
Right.
All we're doing is learning Torah.
That is correct.
And we have to repeat Kriyat Shema.
Correct.
Is there any talks about if a marav minyan in a shiva house is early, that he should skip Kriyat Shema? There's no talk like that.
No, there is no. Because we say, look, if he daven psukei zimra, no one ever said he should. He says, 10 paragraphs of Tehillah.
Right.
No one ever said that. So, in theory, but no one looks at that as Talmud Torah, because you just daven it up. That's why we're davening, we're not learning.
But,
yeah.
The two answers could be, according to the second answer, if you miss davening, you miss chakras, you can't say Krishma later on.
That would probably be correct.
The first answer, you can.
That's correct. If the Avil missed chakras, that's correct. Yeah. Let's assume the Kvura was later than Zman Kriya Shema, and now he gets home, he's sitting Shiva, what should he do? You're right. Yeah. Good point. So Moshe asks about Birchas HaTorah in a Beis Avel, if there's an Isur of Talmud Torah. So look at page number 2. This is the Shibalei Haleket, who's an Ashkenazic Rishon in the 13th century. And he writes, Matzasi B'tshuvas HaGa'inim Zal, Kol yom she'osur likros b'torah, kigon avel v'tes ba'av, osur levarech birchas ha'torah, pirush b'meya brachos. It doesn't mean that you're not allowed to say birchas ha'torah when you get an aliyah, but it means when you're reciting the birchas ha'shachar, which add up to your total of the 100 brachos you're supposed to recite a day, that's when you skip birchas ha'torah. So that the Ga'anim obviously take this pretty seriously, that you're not supposed to learn anything other than something that is recorded in davening. But something that does not make its way into davening should not be recited. You should not recite Birchas HaTorah. It's very interesting. The Shuvas Ga'anim. We are not Nohig that way. We do make Birchas HaTorah in a base, and the Ovel makes Birchas HaTorah, and even on Tisha B'Av we make Birchas HaTorah, because we learn things that you're allowed to learn. Now, others go ahead and ask the question, why is it that if we believe, as we have discussed plenty of times, that Avelus, especially after the first day, is undoubtedly only Madrabana? It's only one shita that we came across, which was the Rif, who said that all 7 days are Doraisa. Everybody else is the Rabbanan. Well, how do the Rabbanan have a right to suspend the mitzvah midoraisa of Talmud Torah? How do they have a right? And the answer is, this answer given 6,000 times, Yesh koyach biyat chachamim la'akor dova min ha'Torah b'shev v'al ta'aseh. That the chachamim have a right to uproot a din d'oraisa when they are not telling you to actively violate a din d'oraisa, but they are telling you to passively not observe a mitzvah midoraisa.
Isn't tefillin also din d'oraisa?
What?
Isn't tefillin also?
Yes, a navi told us in effect not to do it. It's not that the rabbanon are doing it. Yecheskel, right.
I mean, there's more than one answer. I mean, the other answer is he did his learning and he was chayef. I mean, he was.
Right. So, right. But this the question is assuming you're not learning anything. Not learning anything. So they say, Yesh koyach biyat chachamim. which is used very often when you have run out of any other excuse. Yeah. Okay. Yeah, okay. Well, I'm getting right to Gemara. So now we're up to on the Tesvav Amud Aleph. It is three lines from the bottom. Three lines from the bottom. Ovel Chayev Bekriya. An Ovel is called upon to rip his or her garment. How do I know? The Ka'ama Lahu Rachmanu Libnei Aharon Lo Sifromu. That your Aaron's children, Elazar and Isama, when Nadav and Avihu died on the first day of the opening of the Mishkan, they were told not to rip their clothing. Inference, Michlal, Dekuli Almi Michaive. Apparently, everybody must rip their garments, because if no one had to rip their garment, there would be no necessity for HaKadosh Baruch Hu to tell them not to rip their garments. So apparently, they're supposed to rip their garments, and that's the halacha formulated by an Ovel. So the Gemara immediately asks, Menuda Mahu Bikriya. Is a menuda, somebody put into chayrim, obligated to rip his garment? The Gemara answers teku, which is an unusual way of resolving a dilemma without making an attempt to understand what the two sides of the issue are. We see teku hundreds of times, but at least there is a debate, discussion. I'll quote this person, I'll quote that person. I don't know who to paskin like, I say teku. But here the Gemara just says teku. Doesn't say what might be the consideration for a person in chayrim to rip kriya, and what would be the consideration not to rip kriya. I could make a case for both. But the Gemara makes no attempt.
What's the case to rip kriya?
Because the expression in the Gemara in Tanis, as we've seen many times, that a person is supposed to be sitting like what? Like an ovel. That's the expression.
Yeah, but the fact of the matter is that a menuda does not have the same emotional state as an ovel. I mean, so what's the source?
That is correct. So it could be that it might depend on, because it causes agony, a garment. So this should cause you agony that you had to rip your clothing. You should be in a state of so what? So you'll go ahead and listen to the Besdin and do what they ever tell what they tell you. That would be the reason to make kriya. The reason not to make kriya is maybe you said because it's not an ovel. That's all. Okay, but it's unusual that the two sides are not spelled out. Well, after taking care of menuda, we always try to take care of mitzora. Mitzora mahu bikriya. Answers the Gemara. It's a pasuk in the Chumash. It says, Bigadav hiu frumim. Shegihu mikurayin. Shmamina. What a strange question and answer. The question makes no sense because we don't ask questions for Amaratzim. Who don't know that the Pasuk and the Chumash says. The Gemara would never ask, how do you know that you're not allowed to do Malach on Shabbos? Answer, because it says, L'shasakom Malach on the Asavis on Dibros. The Gemara doesn't do that. It's a black on white Pasuk. So it's difficult to understand why the Gemara has to frame it as a question, and then I'll quote you a Braisa, Toshma, it's a Braisa. The Braisa all does is what? Quote the Pasuk. And it says, Bahatsarua, it says, Bigadav Yu Frumim, alright, Virosho Ye Parua, that's what it says. So it's a little difficult. So the Sfas Emes, on page number 3, and others, try to give us some meaning as to what this, and it's...
If we're a Mishnah, we just say it's a language thing. We don't say that in the Gemara.
Right.
Mishnah, we do that all the time. They say the same thing by a... They'll be parallel in the language of the Mishnah. Very often the Mishnah.
Yeah. Yeah.
So the Gemara doesn't do that. We never say that by Gemara.
No. Maybe not. I don't know.
But by Mishnah we would.
Yeah. Ask the Gemara. It says the Isvasenis. Mitzora mal bekriya tashmal begadav yu frumim shiyu mekurat. Vitamua. Es is babira avundia. Mind be boiling. What exactly was the Gemara's question? The hamifurish batora ube Mishnah. The mitzora tsorif fria uprima. That a mitzora has to allow his hair to grow long and his garments must be ripped. V'ulai yeshlomar lehekach. Maybe the havamin is the following. The habemes hecha de tsorich kriya gam im kvar habeget karua eino yotze yede kriya. That wherever there is a chiyuv of kriya, and you happen to have had a ripped garment. So you can say, I'm not ripping another garment, I'll just wear this for the entire shiva. That's not the halacha. The halacha is, you have to rip kriya. Rak tzorich l'kroa mechadash. And that's the Gemara's question. V'hainu, the ibayilahu, the Gemara's question is, im mechuya b'kriya, am I obligated to engage in what? Kriya. Orak lelech bebeged karua. Or is the obligation simply to wear a ripped garment? Upashit, and the Gemara answers, lekula. Because the pasuk doesn't say what? You have to rip. It says, bigadav, yihiyu firumim. Your garment should be ripped. So if you have a ripped garment, by all means wear it. Upashit lekula, shiyu bigadav bikurayin. I will ain't tzorich likroa bikavana litzara'ato. A mitzora does not have to rip kriya. So according to the Sfasemes, the Gemara's question is a very good one. What is the nature of the chiyuv by a mitzora? Is it to wear beged karua or is it to engage in the maisa kriya? And for an avel, we say the following. If somebody is an avel for father and mother, both halachot exist. So if you rip the garment and then it got soiled, and you just don't want to wear a soiled garment for the rest of the shiva, you have to rip another garment. Not because you weren't yotzei the mitzvah of kriya. You were yotzei the mitzvah of kriya. But in Avel, al Avel v'imai, the halacha is you must wear a beged karua throughout the 7 days, and some say it even extends till the end of the shloshim. That's what some say. Well, our minhag is until the kriya, till the
end of
shiva. And on father and mother, you're never permitted to repair the beged karua. You're not allowed to stitch it up. For all the other five avelim for which we sit shiva, if you ripped kriya once and now that garment became soiled, you do not have to rip a second time, even though most people would because they feel embarrassed. And also, I never rip kriya, it's not moritz. Or the rabbis are not moritz for not making him rip kriya. But al pidin, he doesn't have to. Because there is no such parallel halacha by children or brothers or sibling or spouse that you have to wear a beged karua. It's just a mitzvah of kriya. That's all it is.
So if they had a ripped garment in the closet for whatever strange reason,
they could just wear it.
When you say they do kriya,
they have to do kriya.
No, the first time they do kriya, then it gets soiled.
They just
and now the next garment, if it's already torn, they're
for
good.
For mother and father?
No, for a sibling.
They don't have to wear anything.
No, but if they're going to put on another garment,
if they're going to, yeah.
But for mother and father, they have to tear it again, or can they wear an already ripped beged?
An already ripped beged would be fine.
For a father, mother.
Correct. Okay. Once you are mekayem the mitzvah of kriya, you're mekayem. The difference is how do you sit the rest of the shiva? This particular position seems supported by the Sfas Emes' position is agreed upon by the Minchas Chinuch, who cites a Rambam to prove it. So let's take a look at the Minchas Chinuch first on page number 4. So this is Mitzvah Kuf Ayin Aleph Hanhogas HaMetzora. So the Minchas Chinuch as you well know, is divided into three sections for every mitzvah. First, he describes the mitzvah. Then he gives you what's called shrashei ha-mitzvah, the philosophical underpinnings of what that mitzvah is attempting to accomplish. And then it gives you medinei ha-mitzvah, some of the pertinent halachot. So the Minchas Chinuch rarely bothers commenting on the shrashei ha-mitzvah because he was not a philosopher. Rav Babad, the author of Minchas Chinuch, was a chassid shiit. Chassidim are never into philosophy. Where he decided to put his, make his work and make his mark were on the section of the chinuch of the dinei ha-mitzvah. That's how he did it. So here he spent one line describing what the mitzvah is, and then I'm going right away to the dinei ha-mitzvah. That's a couple of pages. And he writes, Hine nira miloshen harambam she'eno chayev dafka likroa rak im lokach beged karua velovash gam kein yotzei midei mitzvah. That it appears from the Lashon of the Rambam that you don't have to rip when you are a mitzora, just wear a beged karua. Lo kimo gabe ovel de mechayev dafka likroa. V'chol haholech bebeged karua lifnei hamesim hareze gozel hachayim v'hamesim. Anybody who comes to the Levaya already wearing a beged karua, he is gozel the dead and gozel the living. He's gozel the dead because you are reluctant, obviously, to demonstrate the kavod for the deceased you didn't want to engage in ripping another garment in honor of this particular person. And it's also gozel eshachayim, based on the fact, I forgot what the Gemara said, let me just tell you where it is, it's a Gemara later, let me just see where it is, that Gemara. Yeah, look at that Chavav Amud Beis for a minute. Chavav Amud Beis. Okay, so look at Rashi, five lines from the bottom of the Rashi, where Rashi writes, Bebeget Karua. He's commenting on the Gemara, Bebeget Karua. Beget Kodem Lochem. Somebody who's wearing a Beget Karua before he gets to the Levaya, and then he doesn't, I have already a garment. Gozel Hakol. Shemirame Hakol. That, number one, he's fooling everybody. Shemara lohen shikara lames. He's trying to generate the impression that what? That he already did this mitzvah. And he's fooling everybody. Rashi on Chavav Amud Beis, towards the bottom of the page. Five lines from the bottom of the Rashi. Beggar Karua. And he's gozel es hames. Rashi didn't have to. Everybody says that. Because he's trying to trick his father that he was Mekayim Mitzvah and he did not deserve. Right, that's the mate, that's the Chayim. He's trying to fool the that he was Mekayim the Mitzvah and he's trying to show his father, I offered proper respect for you. Proper. So that's what it means. So by an Avel, there's undoubtedly a Chi of Kriya. However, by Mitzora, there isn't. And take a look at page number 5 where he quotes the Rambam in Perek Yud of Hilfos Tumas Tzaraas, Halacha Yud Ches. The Rambam says, this is a different Rambam that I wanted to look at. Okay, wrong Rambam. This is about Fias Amita, that's the next topic.
Yep.
Doesn't it say anything here? No. Doesn't say it here.
Person doesn't perform kriya, somebody does it for him.
What is that?
Somebody does kriya for him.
No, you're really supposed to rip kriya yourself. The person who does it just helps you start it. He just makes a rip, and then you're supposed to pull down the whole thing. Yeah. Yeah. Anyhow, so the Minchas Chinuch certainly agrees with the Svasenas. With the Svasenas. Because I'll tell you what the Rambam says. He says that a Mitzorah is Chayav Lilbosh Begadim Kruim. That's the Lashon HaRambam. Mitzorah Chayav Lilbosh Begadim Kruim. Okay, Lama Gein Vayter. Ovel Chayav Bekfias Hamita. An Ovel is obligated to turn over his bed. The beds at that time were basically pretty low to the floor, pretty much on the floor. And there was a little bed there with made out of straw, and you put a sheet on it, and that's where you slept. So it wasn't terribly difficult to turn over and sleep on the straw side. So, and now the Gemara is going to explain why. Detani bar kapara, now tezvav on the case, demus diyukni nosati bohem, I have placed my image, says HaKadosh Baruch Hu, in man, uba'avon oseyem hafachtia, and as a result of their transgressions, I have like turned it around. What does it mean? I've turned it around. It's as if HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, I don't want to look at you, because when I look at you, I'm supposed to see an image of me. Vayivra Elohim, B'tzelem Elohim, Bara Osa. HaKadosh Baruch Hu created Adam Arishon in the image of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So therefore, Kafu Mikosein Aleh. In order to demonstrate that, turn over the bed in order to register this particular significance.
So registering that Hashem has turned his face away from
it's him. It's as if he's turned away his face. You can't turn away your face. So the way you do it is you turn over the bed.
So when it says Babon Eisechem Hafticha, Hafachticha.
I have turned it around when you have transgressed.
So Hashem to this individual person who's passed? To us in general. To us in general.
In general. So when a person passes, the Gemara's assumption is, why does a person pass? Because of transgressions.
Okay.
Misa below chayt. So therefore, symbolically, what we do is we turn over the bed. Why does turning over the bed happen to accomplish this significance? We'll see. Some Rishonim will say in a second.
So that's why we cover up the mirrors.
That's correct. That's exactly, today, that's precisely the point. Today we can't do Tfiyas Hamita, so in order to demonstrate that, we cover the mirrors so that a person should not look at what? As his Tzurah of Elohim, because he doesn't have Tzurah Elohim. He forfeited it under these circumstances.
So again, the person that we're doing this to is not the one who forfeited that.
Okay, so there's going to be one, there's going to be some Rishayim we're going to say, 1 second, just hold on a second.
Okay.
So, first of all, I want you to look at the Rambam. So now you can look at the Rambam on page number 5. And the Rambam is pretty much a loner in this regard in terms of his position. Says the Rambam, V'chayav lichpos hamikta kol shiva. He has to turn over the bed the entire shiva. V'lo mitoso bilvagu kofer, and it's not only your own bed, Ela kol hamitos sheyeshlo b'soch beso hu kofer afilu eser mitos ba'asora batim ube'eser ayharot chayav likfosis kulam. If a guy has a bed in 10 cities, he has to go to all of the cities or ask somebody to please turn over his bed in all of these places. Va'afilu chamisha achim umeis echad mehen. And even if what? If there are five brothers and one of them died, kulon kofin esmi tosehem. They all have to turn over their bed. Hamita hamiyuchedes lekelim olamaos eino tsarach lechosa. If you have a bed that is designated simply for storage of utensils or for money, you use it to hide your money somewhere in this bed. That type of a bed does not have to be turned over.
Why does Rambam say afilu?
What do you mean?
Afilu chamisha.
Very simple. Because I could have said, if they're all sitting shiv in the same house, one is enough. Why? Because it could be a halacha in Beis Avel. If it's a halacha in Beis Avel, I don't. Why does it's not a chiyuv on the gavra? The Rambam believes it's a chiyuv on the gavra.
You already demonstrated that.
But that's what he's saying. That's how he demonstrates it.
Okay.
That's how he demonstrates. See, the others, that the first halacha doesn't demonstrate it at all. Quite the opposite. He's not sleeping on those 10 beds during
Shiva. Right, exactly.
Shiva.
But all my beds need to be kafui.
So that's a halacha. This is my bias.
No, but even right? If I'm not there, all my beds need to be kafui,
right?
Wherever they are
yeah.
On the planet.
Okay, yeah.
That's a chiyuv on me.
Yes, yes.
Well, once he says, kol mitos, so basically, the five brothers, what's he saying afilu?
I think in everybody's
house.
That's what he just asked. Your answer is because...
I hear. It's a good question. He doesn't... You're right. Don't know.
Okay.
Now the Rambam says, first he starts talking about a dargash, which is like a bench, and mita shenaklitel yotze mimena, if you have like a post, a bed with posts, like
Harry Potter.
By a canopy, the Rambam says, Hari i'efsha lahofcha, zokfa vidayu, just turn it over on its side, that would be enough. But now the Rambam adds, hafa kol mitosav, Vahayahu Yashain al Gabe Mitos Acherim. He turned over all his beds, or some of his beds, and he was sleeping on a different bed. O al Gabe Kise, O al Gabe Orom, O al Gabe Karka, Lo Yotza Yide Chavaso, Elo Yashain al Gabe Hamita Hakfuya. The Rambam says it's not enough to turn over the beds, you have to sleep during the Shiva on one of the turned over beds. And if you turn over all of them and you sleep on a rocking chair or someplace else, you have not been yotzei the mitzvah of mita kfuya. And in this regard, as I said, the Rambam is a loner in that regard.
What does that mean?
What?
What are you trying to achieve?
To be very uncomfortable.
Okay, but he's agabe karka. Doesn't get more uncomfortable than karka.
I know, but...
How do you sleep in a bed that's turned on its side?
That would be a little different. That would be a little different. That would be a little different. Yeah.
I'm sorry to be difficult, yeah. But can you explain what's the analogy that they're making with this demus diokini?
I'm going to get to it in a minute.
Even the basic analogy.
The basic analogy is that a person has forfeited his dignity as a creation of HaKadosh Baruch Hu.
Because someone close to him died. That's what you're trying to say?
Yes. Yes. Yeah.
Well, I thought it was the person who passed away.
Well, that's the primary intent, and that's why... Okay, I'll say it now already.
I don't understand the Gemara. The Gemara doesn't make sense to me.
That is why... I just want to see
you understand
who said it.
But the symbolism is on the wrong person.
Just one second. Hold on a second. I just want to tell you.
It's got to be there, though. I mean, who else is it going to be on? It can't, you know, have to have some symbolic...
Why would you pick a bed?
Okay. The Nemuka Yosef says... I don't have the Nemuka Yosef here, I don't think. But the Nemuka Yosef says that based on the Gemara Svara, what they used to do is turn the deceased on his face after he passes away to demonstrate this particular idea. We don't do that today.
He's buried that way, or just
put on his bed, left for a period of time. Actually, on the floor, because you're supposed to do.
They still put him on the floor. Don't we still do that?
Yes, but we leave him face up. The Mugiyosha says that in order to demonstrate that a hafachtiya, I turned it around, he is supposed to be faced, the deceased is supposed to be faced down
for a few moments
to fulfill that very literal interpretation of this. Right. Yeah. Now, the Rush disagrees with the Rambam, and look at on page number 6, in the second section, second bracketed section, he writes, Omar Rab Yoichanan, at the end of the first line, Shalokim Fisa Mita, Avalin Kafa Mitosav, V'yoshan Al Gabe Karka, Yotso Yidei Chovasa, She'ein Hachova Lishon Al Hamita Kfuya, Elakfias Hamita Hi Hachova. The Rush says that there is no mitzvah to sleep on the turned over bed. The definition of the mitzvah is to turn over the beds. Kida Omar Le'el, Tony Bar Kapora. Dmus Diyukni Nosati Bachem, Uba Avono Sechem, Hafachti. So what should they do? Yehafchu Mitaschan Aleha. Vim Hafach Mitaso V'yoshein Agav Karka, Kolshkein Demilsi Yiseirahu Da'avad. If he turned over his bed and he sleeps on the ground, that's milsi yisera. It's not necessary for him to do that. He can sleep where? Can he sleep on a regular bed?
Somewhere else.
No problem. Yeah. On a different bed, as long as he turns over one bed. The hadiktani, fine. That was the Rush's opinion. Then, if you go to the top bracketed section, there is some further discussion about kfiya samita tana rabbanan. May Amosai Kofin is Hamitos, Misha Yotza mi Pesach Beso Divrei Rabbi Eliezer. As soon as you leave your house to go to the cemetery, that's when the Kfiyas Hamita has to take place. Rabbi Shua Omer, Mishi Yistam Hagoleh, when the Aron has been covered, when the Kfur is over. Because we believe that the Avelus is always triggered with Stimas Hagoyla. Always Stimas Hagoyla. So this particular, Rav Yeshua says, why should this halacha be any different than any other Avelus? Why would you have to turn over the bed before you even Achayev and Avelus?
He's not called another Avelus.
Yes.
What? We do Kriya before.
That's because we do it before, because we usually do it at the Levaya already. And Kriya has nothing to do with Avelus. Nothing. You can have Avelus without Kriya, and you can have Kriya without Avelus. For example, somebody's Rebbe passes away, right? So there's a mitzvah to rip. If you're Rebbe Muvak, you're supposed to rip Kriya. And you don't have to sit Shiva. You know, when your Rebbe dies, you should be sad, but there's no chiv of sitting Shiva.
Is that a Kriya done by the Kriya?
Which one?
Well, after burial, that people don't do Kriya?
That's when people used to do it. No, people used to do it at the burial. And some people still do it then. The makbid, that they do it right at the kfura. Right there and then. I remember when the Rav passed away on Cholamai Pesach, so Rav Aaron Lichtenstein wanted to rip Kriya because his father-in-law was the Talmud Muvik of Rav Aaron. But it was Cholamai, so there's a machloikis. If you're a regular Avel, of course you rip Kriya on Chol HaMoed. But if you rip Kriya, should you rip Kriya on for a Rebbe, there's a machloikis. So he went to Rav Shlomo Zalman Orbach, and he asked him, should I rip Kriya or not? And Rav Shlomo Zalman said, you should. under these circumstances. But yes.
When do we now typically?
Today, typically it's done at the Levaya. When you're about to engage in Hesped, and you're standing in front of the Aron, that's
so before the Kura.
Usually it's before the Kura, because it's not necessarily a halacha navelus. Even if there's going to be, you're not going to sit, as I just said, there are certain situations where you have to rip your garments.
Even when we do a graveside service, they do the Kriya at the very beginning, right?
Yes, usually, yes. Right there, yes. Yeah. In terms of Stimus HaGoyle, I should say, there's a famous and incredibly important Machloikis Rashi and Toysu and Rabbeinu Tam, how to interpret Stimus HaGoyle. Rashi takes the lenient approach and says, as soon as the top of the Aron, or the body of the man, like when they bury in Eretz Yisrael, as soon as the body is covered, or the Aron is covered, that's already considered Stimus HaGoyle. Rabbeinu Tam says it's when the whole kever is filled. So we are, of course, noheg like the Rabbeinu Tam. We always wait until the entire kever is filled. But there have been times when I had to make a call, judgment call, said we're going to stop after the kever, after the aron was covered. Because there were, I had come to one Levaya, and it was pouring for days, and there was mud, and it was so heavy to put in, and there were only two people there to were able to shovel, and it would have taken 8 hours to do it. And I said, okay, once it's done, we'll let the guys just put their push on trucks.
Doesn't that term steam as a go refer to in the olden times? It was actually like a wheel that would plug up the.
Could very well be, if they were buried in a cave.
Right.
Yes.
Like a wheel.
That's correct. Because golel means to roll. That's correct. Right. But and our time Rashi says it means covering the aron, covering the maze, and Rabbeinu Tam says covering the whole kever. Yeah.
Which would be more like what they used to have.
Yeah.
They would close.
Yes, it would actually close. Yeah. Okay.
Is there any more on the Machlokes of Rabbi Elazar and Rabbi Yeshua?
We're going to get to it in the Gemara.
Okay.
Let me see if I have the Mechaber here. Yeah, if you turn to page number 7. So the Mechaber writes in a very short siman, Ovel chai v'kriyas amita u'bishashena ve'achila yoshev almita kfuya. For sleeping and eating, he should sit on a mita kfuya. That happens to be the Ran's opinion that you need eating and sleeping. Abel kol hayom eino yoshev. But the rest of the day, you don't have to sit on mita kfuya, afilo amita kfuya, elo agabe karka. Sit on the floor, but don't have to sit on a mita kfuya. V'chein ha-menachamim einom reisha'im leishev elo agabe karka. And the menachamim, when they come and they want to sit, they should not sit on the mita kfuya, they should only sit on the ground itself.
Is that what we don't do nowadays, or...
This is what we don't do.
Yeah, the next line in the Mechaber.
Yeah. Achshav lo nog kfiyas amita. So he quotes a different thing.
V'nei
shiyom roi v'kachavim shehu v'chashefos. He's a kishav machi. He's doing magical tricks. Yeah.
They don't sit on the floor.
Right.
The Nachman don't.
That's correct.
What, the Shulchan doesn't say that we don't do it nowadays.
I know. It's a good point. I don't know why the Mechaber writes that Menachem should sit on the floor. We sit on regular chairs, and only the Avelim sit low. I don't know. I don't know. Not sure. I'll try to do some research on that. Now, the Prisha in Yoredeya, let me see if I have that, in his commentary to the Torah, No, this is not it. Okay, the Prisha to the Torah writes that why did they select the bed to do this? Because typically the beds in the time of the Mishnah, claims the Prisha, were designed for Srara and Menucha. When you were a king, you sat on the bed. It's in Megillas Esther. They were sitting on the bed, and you know Achashverosh walked in, exactly, and he finds Haman on the bed. So since that was considered derech srara v'kavod, that's why in the absent here in this house there is no longer any master and there is no kavod. Our glory has been taken. Therefore, writes the Prisha, the minhag now became to turn the bed over, because that typically was designed as a derech, as an expression of srara and kavod. The Yerushalmi says that there is another reason for kfiyas hamita, and the Yerushalmi says, take page number 8. It is the second bracketed Rabbi Yonah, where it says Rabbi Yonah v'Rabbi Yosa treihon b'shem Rab Shimon ben Lakish. So Rabbi Yonah and Rabbi Yosi both said the halach in the name Rab Shimon ben Lakish. Chad amar b'nei mahu yashin al mita kfuya k'dei shiyehe ne'ur balayla v'nizkar shehu avel. He should not get a good night's sleep and remember that he's an avelus. V'churna amar mitoshe hu yashen agabe mitakfuya hu neor balayla v'niskar shehu avel. Same expression, same reason. So both of them said the same halacha independently in the name of what? Rab Shimon ben Lakish. Okay. Then there is another opinion which says that the reason why you have to engage in this is so that it should remind you not to have marital relations with your wife during the week of Shiva. Since marital relations are prohibited, so they wanted to engage in a simple heker tonight throughout the 7 days. You're sleeping somewhere else, and not in your normal bed, to remind you not to. That's what some claim as well. Now, our Gemara, going back to our Gemara, of course, will now try to ask whether or not the halacha kfiyas hamita applies to menuda and mitzora. That's the Gemara's next question. Antes vav amud bey. Asks the Gemara, menuda u mitzora mahein bekfiyas hamita. Answers the Gemara once again, teiku. No discussion, what might be the consideration. So the Shagas Aryeh, in his commentary Gvuras Ari on Maseches Tanis, take a look at page 9. And he writes, Rabbi Yochanan Mechaya Bekriyas Hamita, Koshel, Habareish Peregimel, Demayet Katan, Mefarish Tama de Kriyas Hamita, De Ovel, Mishum Dius Dukni Nosati Bachem, Uba Avonosechem Hefachtim, therefore Kofel Mitaschem Ole. The high time Alo Shayach Kabe Tishabov. This reason is applicable when somebody dies, but not necessarily for Tisha B'Av, and Rabbi Yochanan there in Tanis said that applies to Tisha B'Av. Miuhasam there in Moikatan, Mibayale Minuda Umitsora Mahin Bekfiya Samita. Afal Gav de Bahu Namilo Shayach Hachtaima de Ovel. Even though that reason that I turned around your face, in other words, I'm very angry at you, and it's as if I'm taking your life because you have violated my partzuf, which is supposed to be an image, a spitting image of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, That's got to with a menuda and a mitzora.
Sure it does.
Maybe it does. But the mitzora, maybe you could argue, but he's taking it literally that a person's, when a person passes away, exactly.
What?
So
his person,
what?
It's his whole life is over.
His whole life is over because he angered HaKadosh Baruch Hu.
Okay.
That's how the Shagas Arius
takes
it. So therefore he said, well, if the Gemara can apply it to Mitzora and to Menuda, it's not so terrible that the Gemara tried to apply it according to Rabbi Yochanan for Tisha B'Av. And according to Rabbi Yochanan on Tisha B'Av, every person has to turn over their beds. Everybody has to turn over their beds. That's possible. That's what the Shagas Arius says.
In Mitzora, we always say Mitzora is Doma Lames.
Yes, that is true. That is true. Yes. So the Ritva just said what you said, that since the reason why we feel that you forfeited your expression of looking like a Kodesh Baruch because of Averos, so the Ritva says it's not so difficult. A Mitzora tok Lashon Hara, a Menuda violated Bezdin. So it's also their Averos caused them to some extent, and it wouldn't be so terrible if we had it. That would be the side to indicate that there should be. And that's the side which the Gemara is contemplating, but just doesn't have any complete resolution. Gemara doesn't answer that question. In reality, the Rambam, and we pointed this out, wherever there was a teiku by these questions, the Rambam paskin l'kula. Should have focused that down. But the Rambam paskin l'kula and all of those, because these are all dine d'rabbanan. The only dine d'oraisa are for a mitzora to wear ripped garments and to allow his hair to grow long. No halacha of kfiya samita, and if there is, it's only with the rabbanan. So since there's a suffix, whether there's a din the rabbanan by menuda and mitzora, the Rambam applies his normal rule that sveka the rabbanan is lakula. But that's not really a perfect answer because, if you well know, it's one of the Rambam's most famous shitas in Hilchos Tumas Meis, that the Rambam writes that on a d'oraisa level, speka d'oraisa l'kula is even for dine d'oraisa. Mm-hmm. The fact that we go l'chumra by dine d'oraisa is a din d'rabbanan. That's what the Rambam writes. Mid'oraisa, every single suffix is mutter. It's only a din d'rabbanan. The raiva goes so wild. Are you crazy? How can you say that? Everybody knows that speka d'oraisa l'chumra is a din d'oraisa. So it's not just because they're dealing with the Rabbanan, but it certainly works halacha lemaisa that he takes the lenient approach. Continues the Gemara. Ovel asur va'asiyas malacha. An ovel is prohibited to engage in malacha. Why? Dichsiv v'hafachti chageichem le'ovel. Le'evel. I will convert your Yomim Tovim to Evel. That pasuk is in Amos. V'chol shireichem l'kina. So the Gemara makes a drash. Ma chag osur b'malacha, af ovel osur b'malacha. Just as a chag has an isur malacha, so too does an ovel have an isur malacha. Now, Tosfos on daf Yud Dalet Amud Beis, if you go back to the Tosfos, Dibur HaMaskel Asei D'Yachid, says, the that in the second line, V'hai deka'ama la'el, lo mivoyu yimei evlo derabanan, in discussing whether or not an ovel, avelus is doraisa derabanan, the Gemara had said on Daf Yud Aleph, lo mivoyu yimei evli derabanan, says Tosfos, what does that refer to? Hainu asiyas melacha, the nafkalon be'asmachta mivahafachti chageichem la'ovel. So it's hard to understand why this particular drash Tosfos feels is only an asmachta. No one ever said that all of the other drashos that we've made from Yecheskel, that Yecheskel was told this, and therefore we do the opposite, that those only midrabbanan. No one ever said that. All of a sudden, this particular pasuk Tosfos feels is only asmachta ba'alma. I have no idea what reason. And the Rambam also, he says in Hilchos Avel, I didn't notice that, it's Perakei Alach Zayin, the Rambam writes, Remez hu she'ovel osur v'malacha, is a remez, which undoubtedly means that it's not a real din d'oraisa, it's certainly only a din d'rabbana. And perhaps what's driving them is that if you wanted to take the drash seriously, you would have no chance but to compare it to Chag. In which case, you come up with the rather strange shita that there is a real Isur Malacha in relationship to Avel. And we, who interpret that there is an Isur of Asiyas Malacha, it's not to be understood as an Isur Malacha of Yontav or Shabbos. It just means an Isur Malacha that should not be Masiyach Das. Don't engage in activities which will deflect your attention for the mitzvah at hand for Avelos. But it doesn't mean you can't turn on a light. It doesn't mean that you can't cook something. It doesn't mean anything like that. But if it would be a real comparison to Yom Tov, then under those circumstances, you would have to be guided. But whatever is mutter on Yom Tov is mutter. But whatever is usher on Yom Tov is usher.
If
it was a real drash.
Yes, I mean, is there any habamina that an avel?
No, that's what I think is driving Tosfos and the Rambam to say this can't be a real drash.
It's a weird use to surprising word to use the word malacha without
it is
mimi malacha.
Yeah, we normally say asiyas malacha means exactly. Yeah, but we'll see. When is it going to be? Yeah, this Shabbos I'm going to give a shir and in Yonah D'Yoyim I'm going to talk about whether Erev Pesach, the Issa Malacha, how does that develop? The Issa Malacha on Erev Pesach. But it's usually Asiyas Malacha normally means Lamates Malachas. Yeah, that's true.
Doesn't seem to bother anybody else.
All right, we'll stop here. Continue next week. Next week, should we want to have a Pesach Shir?
Sure.
Yeah? Okay.